If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew, beginning at chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, where it tells us, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, now Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Fishers of men. This, by the way, is one of the commands of Christ given to them, but I believe that it also applies to us, that we should also be fishers of men. So we want to look at this tonight from three perspectives on how we can evangelize, or how we can be fishers of men. As we certainly want that to be the case. So the first thing we want to take a look at, the first aspect here, is the illustration. The illustration of being fishers of men. Now we need to understand that when Jesus came to these fishermen, they were not using lures. You know, that's the bait and hook approach. I think when we think of fishing, that is so often what we think of, going off there by ourselves by some stream with a fishing pole, and then we have some kind of a lure, maybe a tasty worm. I'm not a fish. Or maybe if somebody is casting, for whatever, they may be using some other type of lure, something that is enticing to the fish, that they come to the fish and then they find out that's not really what it is, and they're caught. And as I was thinking about that, I'm thinking, you know, it is certainly incumbent upon us not to use things of the world to try to bring people to Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." We realize that, it goes on to say, "Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." You know, when we are involved in reaching people for Christ, if the only way or only reason that we are reaching people for Christ is in order to increase the numbers of the church, or in order to increase the role somehow or something like that, we have really missed the point. What we are about is trying to help people to find the same grace of salvation that we have found that has redeemed our lives. And so it's not that we try to use the world's methods and the world's tactics and try to bring them into the church in order to draw people to Christ. You know, it was not lures, but light. Now this is, I'm not an expert on this at all, but one of the things that they did as they were fishing was to use nets, which we saw as they were casting their nets, and they would do it at night. Now, have you noticed that in the night, if you have a flashlight, or in their case, a torch, the darkness reveals the light? Did you know that in the middle of the day, if you light a torch or turn on your flashlight or whatever, that light really is not all that significant? But in the darkness, it becomes far more significant. And so they would hold a torch as bright as possible, and the fish would see that light, and they would be attracted to the light. Now you're following this, aren't you? Who is the light of the world? Jesus is. He is the light of the world, and where Jesus is shining the brightest, people will come to him. And that's part of then what we need to be doing, is shining Jesus, letting Jesus shine through us. But anyway, they would have this torch, they'd be out there, and they would be holding that torch and holding it over the water. They would cast the nets. The fish would come in to the light, and then they would be brought in. They would try to have that be bright as possible. They used nets and caught groups of fish, not just one at a time. Jesus is the light of the world, and he makes us shine. And we also then shine for Jesus. Now, this takes us to the second aspect. Well, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill can't be hidden. People can see it. And so people should be able to see our light wherever they are. Now, we can complain about this being a dark world. In fact, in some cases, things are getting darker, right? But then that means that the light shines brighter. And this is not the time to get discouraged. This is the time to shine for Jesus and to be bright in our world today. That brings us to the second aspect, and that's the process. Now, we talked about that, but in this, the Bible tells us that he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Then verse 20, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now, this is really an amazing passage of Scripture, because he had just told them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And he had helped them, and we see even later on, to catch fish, that kind of thing. And they were willing to give that all up to follow Jesus and to become those upon whom the church would be built and people would come to Christ. It involved a consecration, a willingness for them to give up, and in giving up, to become something that Jesus wanted them to be. Well, that's still true for us. He calls us to give up our own plans, our own dreams, our own pleasures, those kinds of things, to become a part of the process of the church of reaching people for Jesus. Now, here I was reading this scripture here, and Jesus was walking by, as I said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And notice that the next verse says they immediately. It doesn't say, well, they complained. And they tried to figure out some other kind of alternative. And Simon suggested that maybe Andrew should be called, but not him. We live in a difficult day, and it's just too much to expect. No. Immediately. Jesus didn't have to beg them. He didn't have to plead. He didn't drag them. And you know, for us, that needs to be our attitude as well, that we are making ourselves available to be part of the whole project of fishers of men in our world today. The Bible says that they then followed Jesus. Now, we know that they spent, that was 24/7. That they followed Jesus for 3 years approximately. They learned how he thought. They learned his answers. They watched how he lived. They saw how he gave, how he invested in people, how he handled situations, and all of those kinds of things. And you say, well, preacher, we're off the hook because Jesus has ascended back to the right hand of God, and so we can't do that. Well, not in that same fashion. But we want the presence of Jesus in our lives. And the Bible tells us in Colossians 1:27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Here it is, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. One of the things we realize today that makes Christianity different from all other religions, all other religions or that kind of stuff, is that Jesus indwells us. We have a personal relationship with him. He comes, invests himself in our life. He changes and transforms us, and we get to walk with Jesus 24/7. The gospel is not about just coming to church on a Sunday morning and then doing our own thing and whatever the rest of the time. Oh, no, it is a part of offering him the very first of our week because we are invested with him all week long. We walk with Jesus, and we're thankful for that. And then he has given to us his word. Your word is a lamp, notice that, a light to my feet and a light to my path. Now, they tell me that one of the things that they did when they would travel at night, they hadn't invented batteries yet, so their flashlights wouldn't work. But they had these oil lamps that would fit over their feet on their toes. And they would light that lamp, and so as they would walk, they would have a light in front of them down where they needed to see the path. And as they took each step, they would have that light. Now, notice that the light wouldn't show them the path, many, many yards down. But one step at a time, they would be able to see, and they wouldn't be stumbling, that kind of thing. That's the Word of God. I'm thankful that the Word of God is a light unto our path. It helps us day by day to know how Jesus thinks and what he would do and how to handle the situation that I'm facing today. The Bible does not tell us what is in store for your life a month down the road or 6 months down the road or 6 years down the road, but step by step, as we walk with Jesus and we stay in the Word of God, he helps us to know how to handle this situation in life that I'm facing right now. And we walk through it with him because he is with us, the hope of glory. And then, of course, the Bible also makes it clear. He says that we get the benefit of walking in the Spirit. Colossians chapter 5 and verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a tremendous passage of Scripture. If we had time, we'd spend more time in Colossians, but you can look at it later as it talks about walking. It's kind of interesting. We don't find in the Bible where it says, run in the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I cannot sustain running for a very long time. Now, when I was younger, I ran more than I do now. And I could run further than I can now, all 6 feet. No, because I used to get up when I was in college. I had a first hour Greek class, which means I needed to be awake. And I'm not awake when I wake up in the morning. And so I needed to wake up. So one of the things I realized I had to do was do something to wake up. And so I'd run a mile in the morning before I'd go to school, so I'd be awake when I got to Greek class. And it really did help. I don't run miles anymore. But anyway, I still, even then, wouldn't be able to sustain continued running. But I'm thankful that we can do an awful lot of walking. Amen. I'm getting too tired. My wife and I, we had the opportunity of being in Ireland, and I added it up. My Fitbit was telling me how many steps and how many miles, and so I got back and I added that up. 68 and a half miles we walked. Not bad, huh? 6.5 miles a day on average that we were walking. And you know what? Didn't hurt us at all. We could keep on going. That's how it is walking in the Spirit. It doesn't say run in the Spirit. It says walk in the Spirit. A step at a time. And we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us. Jesus is a part of our life. He has given us the Word of God to give us his wisdom. And he has given us the personal presence of his Holy Spirit to help us day by day, step by step, in our walk with Jesus. Isn't that cool? I think that's really neat. Praise the Lord. That also brings us, verse 17, the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, the point is here, we're not called to walk in the flesh. We're called to walk in the Spirit with the Spirit directing us. That brings us to the importance then of holiness. And the realization that we need to be walking in holiness, the need for holiness, true consecration, a realized purification of our heart, and a practical empowerment for ministry and walk in the grace of God. And why is this important? Well, because God said, be holy, like I'm holy. That's the way to walk. And we need to be doing that. And then cooperation. As I've said before, it's easy for us to get the wrong picture of becoming fishers of men is a line of people fishing along the bank with their poles sticking out individually trying to get that fish on the other end and so on. No, the right picture is to recognize that there's a net hundreds of feet long between the boats, corked on one side, sinkers on the other. And so the boats would row in a circle and the bottom would be drawn in together faster and faster. There'd be somebody that would be holding the torch up, maybe even more than one torch, as they would work together as a team to bring in those nets to catch the fish. Now, can you imagine somebody trying to hold a torch in one hand and move 100-foot-long nets while they're trying to row the boat? You know, with you only got two hands. This helps us to realize that it is the importance of working in the group. And that's what we find in Scripture. We find Jesus coming to these fishermen. They're not by themselves. They are working in a group. And that's a picture of the church, the body of Christ. Now, I'm thankful that we can go and talk to people individually about Jesus. But you know what? It is the work of the body of Christ to work together to carry that message forward. Missionaries would have a very difficult time going by themselves if they didn't have the support of others to make it possible for them to go. And as a church together, we work together to carry forward the message of the gospel of Christ. We are in this together. And that's why we're not in competition. I think of those, we've lived in some places where they had big fishing competitions. One of them was on the Mississippi River at Fort Madison, and they had this big, you know, that big tournament. People go out there individually by themselves and try to catch the biggest fish and bring it in, and they're in competition with one another. And that's not the church. That's not the right picture of the church. The right picture of the church is God's people working together to bring in the nets and to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Thank the Lord. And by the way, he said he's the source. Jesus is the source. He says, you know, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, you know, that is such a comfort. Because if we're trying to do this in our own strength, we'll fail. But it is Jesus who brings us together. It is Jesus who brings the unity, the cooperation, and the mission of the church. This is His work, and it is His promise. I will make you fishers of men. So what do we need to do? Stay close to Him. Walk with Him step by step. And do like the disciples, they immediately followed Him. We bring under His lordship all that we have, what we are, our resources and so on. And we say, Lord, I'm glad to be a part of Your team. And You use me where You see fit. Maybe You want me to hold the torch. Maybe You want me to hold one end of a net someplace. Whatever it may be, in the kingdom of God, I'm willing to be a part. This is Your work, and we're counting on Your promise. We live in some difficult days. We're aware of it as we read the news about the world situation. There are people who have asked me, Pastor, do you think this is the end of time, as Jesus spoke about in many places? And my answer to that is, I don't know. But I can tell you this. The prophecies of God's Word can be more literally fulfilled today than any other time in history. We need to be a part of getting those nets out in our world today before the doors close. To do what we can. Be a part of His church in reaching this world for Jesus today. Will you stand with me? You know, Lord, as the people of God, we want You to know that we are committed to following you and being a part of your kingdom business. I pray, Lord, that you'd spare us from ideas and attitudes of competition, trying to see who can do the best and all that kind of thing. Instead, give us an attitude of submission, willingness to serve you and to be faithful day by day, step by step, and you will make us fishers of men. Help us to realize, Lord, that brothers and sisters in Christ are a part of the same team. We're a part of the same mission with the same head, and that's you. Now, Lord, we want to pray for our part as Five Mile Community Church. We rejoice in the way that you've helped us as a church to be involved in so many different things and support things. It's why we pray for our missionaries, asking, Lord, that you will use them and open the doors that they may have the opportunities of sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel. It's why we're involved in various kinds of other ministries that can help to advance the gospel and make a difference. And we want you to know, Lord, that we are so thankful that you've given us that opportunity. Now, we don't want to ignore our own community, and we continue to pray for Breathitt County and surrounding counties, that, Lord, you would draw the nets. You are the light, not just of the world, but you are the light of Breathitt County. And so we pray, Lord, as we live for you in this county and the surrounding counties and the places where our good folk who are online live, that the light of Jesus shining through us will help to draw people to Christ. And we're praying, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts and that these would be days when the nets would be drawn in, fishers of men, and there would be a movement. We need one, Lord, in the United States. We need a revival movement across our country and right here in this part of Kentucky as well. And we pray for it, Lord. And we say, here we are. We're glad to be a part of it. Lord, I pray for your blessing on your people and on your church. And as we go from here into this week, we go bearing the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray it in your name. Amen.